fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Thursday afternoon, as we are about a little bit over 6 hours away from kickoff tonight at Nissan Stadium. Titans and Colts, Thursday night football, AFC South matchup. And with that being said, let's bring in Teresa Walker from AP, Associated Press. She is on the line with us, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teresa, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Darren?
Doing fantastic. Doing better than the Titans at home against the Colts. We just broke down every matchup that's ever happened here in our wonderful city since the Titans have been here against those nasty Colts, and their record here at home is 5-13 all time.
It's ugly, isn't it? I mean,
here.
it's not astounding.
Not like, I know. 5-13 at home against Indy? Are you kidding?
There's been no home field advantage for the Titans in this series. And here's the thing. You know, I wrote about it yesterday. The Colts' dominance here in Nashville has survived Peyton Manning, which you kind of understand. Andrew Luck, sure. Well, now, even though Phillip Rivers is 7-2 against the Titans when he was with the Chargers, Titans now have a chance to maybe start changing some things because, you know, Phillip Rivers, you know, yes, he's good. He's one of the better quarterbacks that's played in the NFL. But this is the Titans' opportunity to start a rare winning streak against the Colts. You know, they won last December and despite Ryan Tannehill getting sacked six times, and now they've got a chance. I mean, the one thing that this franchise has been building toward this all ever since they lost in the AFC Championship game, start with a home playoff game. You got to win the AFC South to do that. To do that, you're going to have to beat the Colts, and there's no better time than tonight.
I know we didn't bring you on to talk about odds. We certainly do that a lot on this show, but I'm just asking you, why do you think this thing has shifted from last night the Titans favored by 2, and it's been that way all week, to now the Colts are favored by 1, 1.5? There's been this seismic shift all the money is going on Indy for tonight's game. What do you think has changed? What's happened in the last 24 hours, in your opinion?
Darren, nothing that I can tell. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney was ruled, you know, they said he'll play tonight, you know, and a big step considering Sunday we thought they might be announcing that he's going to have knee surgery and end his season, so he's available. Now, you know, Corey Davis is dealing with just an absolutely tragic situation with the loss of his brother, but there's reports that he's going to play tonight, and, you know, we can look back to Sunday. Josh Allen was dealing with the loss of a grandmother and turned in an incredible game. You know, Brett Favre had an incredible game after the loss of his father. I mean, athletes, you know, get a break from dealing with grief by going out on the football field, and they can channel that. So, you know, I don't get it. I mean, you know, is it the rivalry? Is it people looking at the Colts defense and thinking, yeah, there's just no way they're good? And it's like, well, wait a minute. The Titans, even while they've slowed down in the last 3 weeks, and yes, they've only got one field goal in the entire first quarter of the last three games, but this is still an offense, that is seventh in the NFL scoring points. You know, they're averaging 29, and that's because they cooled off after a four-game stretch of scoring at least 31. So, you know, this offense has got a lot of tools. You know, it's the best offense, in my opinion, that the Colts have faced up to this point. You know, we saw them give up 24 to the Ravens on Sunday, and yes, the Ravens offense is really good. But, you know, the Titans, they're kind of a complete offense. You know, we know Ryan Tannehill can throw, decisive passes. There's Davis, there's Jonnu Smith, there's A.J. Brown. Oh, yeah, some guy named Derrick Henry. You know, maybe they're looking at the left side of the line and, oh, they're without Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, he hadn't practiced, he's hurt. You know, they're going to, you know, DeForest Buckner's going to eat. I don't know what they're thinking of on this, but, you know, there's people who make and win a lot of money. There's a lot of people that lose a lot of money betting on football. Me, I just prefer to report on it.
Maybe they
smart.
Maybe the reason the line shifted is because of the 5-13 record at home. I don't know. Maybe everybody discovered that. By the way, you can throw Logan Ryan into that hat as well. Lost him and his wife lost their son. His wife may have had her life saved by the Giants staff, he decided to play last week, got the game ball, and I think had the interception to finish out the game and the win over Washington. So you're right. Everybody deals with it differently, and it's amazing some of the stories. Maybe Corey Davis is that guy tonight that has a monster game in lieu of, you know, in lieu of a Titans win over the Colts, and he's a big part of it. Who knows?
Well, absolutely, Darren. And, you know, this is the thing. Corey Davis has played well this year as it is. So I just don't get it. I mean, here's what we have seen this year. This, you know, Titans were the first team to deal with COVID. They played, a couple games on very little practice. So a short week turnaround, not a huge issue for them, you would think. They dealt with it within the past month. So, trying to look at different issues, I'm not sure what other people are looking at. And maybe it is just that rivalry history. But you know what? You know, every dog finds its day. A squirrel finds a blind acorn. Well, blind squirrel finds an acorn. Yeah, I'm butchering the cliches. But, you know, there comes a point in time where things change. And it felt for me like last December when the Titans finally got a one. And let's not forget, yes, Phillip Rivers wasn't with them last year, but, you know, the Colts barely won the game here in September, and that was the day the cart fell over, caught fire. You know, literally the Titans were kind of a dumpster fire that day. But, you know, things seem to have changed, and if the Titans are going to become, you know, really finish this shift, that their chance starts tonight and then again on November 29th in Indianapolis, because they've already beaten the Jaguars, they've already beaten the Texans. Now they've got to take care of the Colts to get to where they want to be.
Can they run on this Colts team? Colts are the best in the league at stopping the run. Can the Titans have success with Derrick Henry tonight?
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to say he isn't, not because, you know, he ran for a bunch of yards against them last year, and the biggest difference is they've added DeForest Buckner. So we've seen Derrick Henry have success against this Colts defense, you know. So they've made a couple tweaks, but, you know, he can run on them. And guess what? You know, we've seen him running even when people are putting, you know, 8 and 9 in the box. You know, he had, 68 yards against the Bears. I don't have any doubt that he would have gotten 100 if the Titans – it felt like with the lead, they were resting him a little bit, knowing they had a short turnaround and that they were going to need him tonight. So, and he's got quite the streak going on. You know, he's had at least 18 touches in quite a long stretch of games here. So, so yes, I'm expecting them to be able to run now. And I think that, you know, it feels like Arthur Smith may have learned a lesson a year ago. I think maybe it was the game against Carolina that, you know, even when things are kind of ugly early, what we've seen out of him over the last year is they'll stick with Derrick Henry. They don't just suddenly forget the run game. They know that their play action has to have the threat of the run. That means you have to keep handing it to Derrick Henry. And what we've seen is all Derrick Henry needs is a little sliver. Nobody thought he was going to go 94 yards, and when suddenly he takes off and boom, before you know it, he's in the end zone. So, yeah, he'll run on him.
Talking to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. And Teresa, like us, you know, we go back through all of this stuff. There's very little we haven't discussed by the time the day of the game rolls around. But one thing that we haven't talked about much, we've looked at the Colts not having Jack Doyle, who, of course, once was a Titan, played at Western Kentucky, and he has killed the Titans. So that's a good thing. But on the Titans front, one thing I'm curious about, and I don't know the full answer, I suspect, I at least have a theory, Jonnu Smith's targets have gone down a lot the last few weeks. I'm guessing maybe they're having to keep the tight end in a little more to block with the issues with Taylor Lewan. That's one theory. And, of course, Michael Pruitt, who is really the blocking tight end, he hasn't been available much. But I'm curious to see if they go to Jonnu Smith a little bit more. He's such an important weapon for them.
Well, he absolutely is, but, you know, he is probably the better blocker than Ferkser. So, you know, we have seen a lot of balls going to Ferkser over the last couple of weeks. And let's not forget, you know, Jonnu Smith was dealing with an ankle. I mean, I was impressed that he played the last couple of weeks because I think it was the Houston Texans game where he went to the sideline with the ankle. And, you know, I thought, you know, I was surprised he played the next game. So, you know, it might be just keeping him in the block to help that line and, you know, But that's the thing. You don't fall asleep on him because, you know, we saw him when they needed him last week. They threw to him, and then he got the touchdown pass. And the touchdown pass that ended up being the winning points in that game last week. So, you know, it's definitely a theory to watch. I'll probably pay a little closer attention to where they've got Johnny lying up tonight just to see how much they're maybe helping. But, you know, let's face it. You know, last week particularly, they lost Roger Saffold for, you know, more than a half of that game. They may have been using him to just help out because, you know, Jamil Douglas, even though he's been around, hadn't had that much playing time this year because they've been, knock on wood, aside from left tackle, fairly healthy on the line.
It's a good point on the ankle, too. I did not remember that. Maybe he has been a little less than 100%, but that is something that I think Arthur Smith does a good job of. You're never quite sure who's going to end up being the main target getting the most. As we discussed this a little bit earlier. Sometimes it seems like either A.J. Brown or Corey Davis tends to have the big game. Rarely do they both have big games where they're getting targeted a lot. So that's a good thing about the versatility. But, boy, you'd love to see what it would look like if they both could get six or seven catches.
Wouldn't you, though, Willie? I mean, and that's the thing. I almost wonder, and you know, unfortunately, I haven't had the time to go back and look at some game tape to see, you know, maybe my theory is maybe, you know, defenses. You know, it's like, okay, coming into the season, we're going to focus on A.J. Brown because, you know, he was the guy who had 1,000 yards receiving last year, and then Corey Davis goes off for 100 yards. And it's like, wait a minute, we got to pay attention to 84. The good thing about this offense and the way Ryan Tannehill distributes the ball is, you know, as soon as you do focus on somebody, then there goes Khalif Raymond having a 100-yard game. So, you know, he'll find the guy who's open and get the ball to him, and that's what makes this offense so effective.
We're talking to Teresa Walker of the AP, and speaking of players that have been battling injuries, I mean, what should be expected out of Jadeveon Clowney tonight?
Great question, Chase. Here's the thing. He didn't practice at all last week. He did practice Tuesday. I was out there in the rain and saw him, and, you know, he looked pretty good. But, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. He had gotten a lot of he'd been playing a lot of snaps. You know, Harold Landry's hardly leaving the field. Well, Jadeveon Clowney wasn't far behind. So, you know, keep an eye on how many times they get him out there on the field. I won't be surprised, you know, depending on who they have active tonight, maybe they keep a couple of extra backers active tonight so that they can spell him and maybe use him more on third down to help him there. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that because, yeah, I can't imagine you get him out there and he plays, you know, 80, 90% of the snaps tonight. So pick and choose might be the best method for him.
Do you put any stock in what the defense did last week without him? Granted, I know that not a very good offensive line, that the offense is not what Indianapolis is there in Chicago, but what the three sacks, what the defense was able to do without Clowney, I mean, do you think, all right, maybe they got their confidence up and now you just add him in there and he can pick up some of what's left?
Let's face it. I think that it was the confidence is definitely up. That fourth and one stop was huge for them early. But, you know, they had guys lose jobs. Jonathan Joseph had been a starter. You know, Vic Beasley was given a big contract. And when you let guys like that go, it has to send a message. You know, work a little harder, you know, and they all stressed that they had to talk more. And they had some new guys in there who hadn't played in games for them. Five new guys made their debuts with the Titans on Sunday. And that wasn't just the snapper and the new punter. So, you know, three of those guys were on defense. They had to talk, and that may be a thing that helps them most because that's what they said the last couple of days. We got to keep talking. We got to keep communicating. So, you know, with the new pieces they've got, and you get Clowney in there, and everybody's talking together. You know, let's face it, we're all waiting to see Clowney be the, you know, the revved up Lamborghini getting to the quarterback, or at least affecting things. You know, he may not be the guy that gets sacks. I know everyone wants to see him have a 2 or 3 sack game. But if he can be out there and be effective and they get some more pressure against a quarterback that's been tough to pressure, guys, don't look for sacks tonight. Look for tip balls and possible picks and fumbles and things like that. But I'm waiting to see what him coming back with a week off, how much that helps this defense that did seem to take a little bit of a turn for the better on Sunday.
Adoree Jackson was activated off of IR. He won't play tonight. We knew that, and this has been quite the journey to watch because, you know, it was thought he could be back before now. Maybe there's been a setback. Mike Vrabel has been mum on any type of injury, but especially with Adoree Jackson. But do you have some confidence or at least feel somewhat okay that maybe, possibly next week, Adoree Jackson's in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's had the 3-week return to practice, and you know, now he's going to get another week to get to where they want him to be. But here's the thing. You want him for the stretch run. So if it takes another week to get him where you want him to be, I think the Titans are going to be patient with that because, you know, think last December, you know, when it was just Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler's on IR, that secondary was struggling. And he came in the postseason, and it seems just everything clicked into gear for them. So I just feels like they're going to be patient with him because a healthy Adoree Jackson back full strength is going to be better for them than somebody who's trying to nurse an injury through the rest of the year.
Teresa
okay.
Walker.
After this game, is it 5-14 or is it 6-13? The record at home against the Colts.
I think the Titans win tonight. We've seen how Mike Vrabel gets this team ready for big games. This is a big game. Remember how everyone was counting them out in New England and, you know, forget them even having a chance in Baltimore. And, you know, even though they lost in Kansas City, they did have a lead in that first half. So, you know, and we've seen it. You know, they came out and destroyed the Bills, you know, when everyone wanted every, you know, they, people were wanting the all sorts of discipline coming down on the Titans. How dare they get sick and have an outbreak in the midst of a pandemic. And they rallied, you know, we all we got, we all we need. You know, this is another opportunity for them to follow that kind of mindset. And I do think they get the win tonight.
All right. We shall see. And we hope you're right. Teresa, always appreciate it. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, guys.
Teresa Walker covers the team and a lot of other teams for Associated Press. Does a really good job of it, doing it for a very long time. She just said it. Titans win. Let's talk about that on the other side. Do they indeed get it done? We just went through year by year all the matchups here in Nashville. It has not fared well for the Titans. 5-13. Can they change that narrative tonight? And they've gone from the favorite this week to now the slight underdog at home. Maybe everybody picked up on that record. Right now, I want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. My friends over there, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there and seeing them for years. And a lot of you have too. They've been around in this area here in Middle Tennessee since 2007. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff have been improving a lot of you out there, improving your quality of life, including mine. And I hope you, and I know you've wanted that just like me, because as we all get older, things start happening, right? We just don't feel the same as we did maybe in our 20s or 30s or what have you. But they can help you, like hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling really off lately, just haven't felt yourself, and you're wondering, what's going on? Don't have any drive right now. Don't have any energy. Well, get over there and talk to them about it. They can check your levels. That tends to go down a lot of people as we get older. Your levels dip, 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 and that can affect you. It can affect your mood. It can affect your energy, how you feel, and they can help you in that department. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management is another category. That's always important, but especially in 2020, right? You've been out of your routine. We get it. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds. You'd like to get rid of them. Well, they've got people and programs that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon, getting ready for Titans and Colts. Don't forget Corner Pub downtown. 5 to 7 will be the pregame show. That's when it will start. The afternoon show will be there. And getting ready for Titans Colts night at Nissan Stadium. Forever Titan Chris Sanders, who joined us in Underdog Picks, will be a part of it with Jared and Floyd. So you want to check that out today, getting you ready for this game. And then, of course, we will react tomorrow. Before we continue our discussion about this game, First, let's head down to Augusta, Georgia, where Elijah is not standing by. He's actually back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, but he's going to tell you who's atop the leaderboard.
Oh, yes, my friends, as I am in spirit in Augusta, your Masters Leaderboard update is brought to you by Music City Golf in Belle Meade, home of all of your golfing needs. And like the last update, we do have a little bit of a score or a lead change, as Paul Casey has taken the lead, as he is at 6 under through 14. Webb Simpson in second at 5 under through 17. A little bit of a logjam in third. Lee Westwood, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele in one. Tiger Woods at 4 under. Tiger's through 13, one or two holes behind the other guys he is tied at third with. The top 10 has some other familiar names. Louis Oosthuizen at 3 under. Jason Kokrak at 3 under. And then our friend Jazz Jane Watananand at 2 under is awfully close to that top 10. As close to that top 10 as I am to nailing his last name. Very close. But that is your leaderboard update from the Masters. Again, brought to you by Music City Golf in Belle Meade, home of all your golfing needs.
Thank you, Elijah. That was a very good report.
How's Kokrak doing?
John Kokrak is tied for 7th, 3 under through 14 on today. He is getting
I'm
closer.
I'm so disappointed it's Kokrak. I really am.
We're all disappointed.
Can you imagine if he wins?
Ugh.
I have two cheering
interests.
If he
wins, I win.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
I have two cheering interests in this now. That is Jason Kokrak and Jazz Jane Watananon.
By the way, Ron on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Yes.
Ron says the music for the Masters is horrible, worse than elevator music. Ron, you take that back. That is fantastic.
Blasphemy.
That is a tradition unlike any other.
Ron must not like sleeping on a Sunday afternoon.
I know. You hear that as you make the walk through Augusta and look at the dogwoods.
You can't have Pantera going in the background when you're doing a Masters leaderboard update.
No.
You know? I mean, as much as I'd like for to be a little bit more upbeat, that's appropriate music for a golf leaderboard. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
John Rahm is right now currently on a green. I don't know. I'm trying to look at the hole. I'm watching this live. He's the guy who on – what was it? Was it in the – it was on Tuesday? What day was
it?
Tuesday?
It was Tuesday during his practice round.
Practice round, and he skipped one off a par three, which was basically the tee box and then all water to the green. And he skipped it, about three times off the water, up on the land. And it was one of those deals that just kept going, gets on the green, keeps rolling, right into the cup for a hole in one.
That was awesome. I think he was trying to kind of do a trick shot. Was that his practice round or was that the par three?
I want to say it was a practice round, but I could be wrong.
You think there's a chance? I'm just asking because I've not read up on this. I've seen the video like 10 times. It just continues. In fact, I tweeted out and said, "This never happens to me. I do that all the time.
I don't think you do that skip like he did, because the way the ball came off the club, it looked like he meant to hit the water. Now, obviously, doing that and wanting it to work are two different things, but it just happened to work. But I just the way he hit it, it looked like he was almost trying to do something like that.
I know they're so good. We think that that's got to be an accident, but I mean, they do have mishits. So I don't know. I would need somebody much more well-versed in the sport, somebody much better at the sport than me or you, to really tell us if that's
sure.
If that's something that he was actually trying to do, or if that was just a bad hit that turned out to be, unbelievable, where it turned into a hole-in-one. So, anyway. All right, I've got some numbers.
Okay.
On the Colts and the Titans. Just a plethora of info on this matchup, okay?
All right.
So, here we go. mean, a lot of this stuff is we've talked about, but I'm just going to do a little bit deeper dive. Okay, we've talked about their offensive line, and they get a lot of praise. The Indy does for their offensive line. The Colts have been sacked on just 3% of their pass attempts from Phillip Rivers this season. Just 3%. That is tied for the best in the league. The average, the league average, is 6% of the time. They're at a 3% clip of their pass attempts. So something that we talked about that both of us, because I opposed it to you and Willie, and you went where I wanted to see if anybody would go there. What's a key for the Titans to win this game? And you said getting to Phillip Rivers. And that's what I wanted to see if anybody would go there, because I agree with that. But with that being said, so we're both on the same page. And then when you hear that set, you go, one, the Titans are a team, as we know, struggle getting to the quarterback. And now we're finding out, oh, by the way, the Colts are really good at protecting their quarterback, who's a statue, who's not mobile.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously you want to get to him, you want to hit him. But I think there are other ways to get to Phillip Rivers. I mean, even if you're not connecting with the sack, if you're rushing him, as we've seen in the past, even before his arm, you know, basically fell off from what it was. I mean, he will make some, I guess the gunslinger, that's the best way to put it. He'll be that gunslinger and he'll make some dumb throws. So if you're rushing him and you're forcing him to make a throw that isn't there, I mean, I think that's going to be a win in the Titans' book too, because it goes back to what they've been able to do, win the turnover battle. So if you can force him to make some of those bad throws and pick them off, or, you know, even if it's just an incompletion, then I think you'll take that, because that offensive line is going to make it very, very difficult to actually get to him and knock him down. And I think that they know that, especially with the Titans' woes at pass rush.
These would all be candidates for pick six, which obviously we can't do because the game is tonight. And it would be, can they sack Phillip Rivers? And we would have had an over-under on sacks. And so with that being said, by the way, he's only been sacked, I think, 8 times out of 288 pass attempts. So how would you answer it? Do they record a sack on Phillip Rivers tonight?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I'm going to say no.
I'd probably have to lean toward no, too.
Top shelf it.
I hope I'm wrong, because they, you know, that would obviously help. But, I mean, they're not going to have a 3-sack week like they did last week. Last week was huge for their confidence, but you got to understand that just because it's 1 week and you have one good week, I mean, the numbers are there that this has not been a good pass rush and you're going up against the best offensive line in the NFL. So it's realistically not going to happen for you.
So with that offensive line that you just brought up, how about this stat? The Colts have not drawn any flags for offensive holding since week 6, which is tied for the fewest in the NFL. So that's another thing. They protect their quarterback, and they don't get flagged for holding. Their offensive line doesn't get hit with that.
That's
which
big.
We know league average is way down, because I've brought this up on the show many times. League average is way down on holding. In the league is not calling it. They're not calling offensive line. They're not calling offensive holding. The numbers are way, way down. But the Colts are really good at it. They're not getting hit with that, which, you know, is a critical penalty. I mean, that can really change a drive. It can change momentum. But the Colts, unfortunately, are tied for the fewest in the NFL since week 6. They have not drawn any flags for offensive holding. So there's another pick 6 candidate. Do the Colts get hit with an offensive holding tonight? Yes or no?
Oh, you're bringing good questions. I'll say no.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go that way too.
What crew do they have? I need to pull that up, because that would be good to know.
Yeah, well, but then you'd need to know, okay, what are they? How do they call it? Like,
right.
We would need the game report on basically, you know, how this crew operates, which they do. They know that stuff. They will talk about that stuff. They will break down the numbers inside the walls and say, hey, this crew tends to lean toward X, right? They tend not to call this. I mean, they do have that data. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, right, so I would have to pull that up.
Here's some stuff on the Titans end. Titans tight ends. You know, Willie brought up Jonnu Smith earlier. Been a little bit quiet for the most part, right?
Yep. Had a touchdown last week.
Did. Titans tight ends have caught 8 touchdowns this season. That is tied for most in the NFL. Would you have thought that before I told you?
No, I wouldn't have.
When you think about Travis Kelce's of the world, right? You think about the good tight ends and teams that love to throw to tight ends. I mean, Eric Ebron has had success with the Steelers. Yeah, Titans tight ends have caught 8 touchdown passes this year. That is tied for the most in the NFL. But we know they've got a tight end injured. And is that coming to play? All right. So with that being said, do the Titans have a touchdown from a tight end tonight? Boy, aren't these good prop bets?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of writing these down. I'm going to say yeah. I think they
yes.
Will. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I believe Corey Davis is going to have a big game for the Titans. But I do think that, you know, down there in the red zone, that's they like to go to Jonnu or Firkser or you know, so I say yes.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. We know the offense has been really the bright spot, even though they've struggled a bit the last couple of weeks, but maybe it was because their bar was so high prior to the last two games against Chicago and Cincinnati. The Titans have completed passes of 20 or more yards on 83 of their 703 total pass attempts this season. Okay, so that's good for 12% where they've completed passes of 20 or more yards. And that is going all the way back to even last year. That is tied for best in the NFL. The league average is 9%. They're tied for best in the NFL. In other words, they're doing a really good job of stretching the field. No secret, A.J. Brown is a big part of that, right?
Yep.
But, you know, there's other dynamic receivers in the league that stretch the field. This just in, have you seen D.K. Metcalf stretch the field in Seattle, right?
Yep.
Buffalo Bills have some guys that can stretch the field. Their quarterback's having a lot of success. But yet the Titans sit here, and they've done it, 83 times of 20 or more yards. So with that being said, Chase, here we go. Again, go straight to the prop. Do they have a completion of 20 or more yards tonight? And what if I said the over-under was 1.5?
I'm going to go over.
So you think they do it more than one? They have more than one completion of 20 or more yards?
Yep. I do.
So the Colts defense has had a lot of success this year, as we know. They're very, very good against the run, best in the league. They're very good against pass. They do it all very well on defense. Who do you think that they are, if they have to get up on their whiteboard and put the number one guy they want to, I don't know, shut down is a strong word, slow down, a guy they want to key on the most on the Titans offense, who's the name they write up there and why?
The guy that they want to, the Colts defense wants
if
to shut down?
Behind closed doors, if they've gone up there and they've got, you have to pick number one, the one guy, you can only pick one, who's atop their list of the guy they want to concentrate the most on tonight and slowing him down. Like I said, shut down is a strong word. It's hard to shut down anybody,
yeah,
really, in today's NFL with offense and the rules. But who they want to slow down on that Titans offense, who is it? Who are they keying on the most?
Well, I think it has to be Henry.
You think it has to be Henry?
Yeah, I mean, Henry can hurt you in so many ways. Now, you brought up some other names of A.J. Brown, and, you know, it's something we've talked about today. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, both having big games, you know, both being able to contribute and not just being one or the other. And I think you certainly can't ignore them. But Derrick Henry is still the catalyst on this team. He's second in the league in rushing. And they have shown that they're, it doesn't matter the game situation, they are not afraid to hand the ball off to him. Now, we saw him last week, you know, they were working others in, but still by the end of the day, he was getting the football. So they held him under 100, but I still think Derrick Henry's the focus.
The Colts defense has been very stingy in the red zone. They have only allowed 9 first down receptions in the red zone this season. That is tied for the fewest in the NFL. So they're very stingy. You start getting to that area of the field, they tend to clamp down. They make it extremely difficult on you. So can the Titans have any success in the red zone tonight? Which will be key for them. Because if you're not having success, then you're kicking field goals.
Yep.
And we don't need to talk about that, do we? We've talked enough about special teams and the kicking situation.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have to rely on that. I mean, the Bears were, you know, their defense was good in their red zone. I think the Titans will have some success, but they're also going to have to rely on, you know, some of those long plays like we were talking about previously to help set that up. Colts are going to bring it, but I still think the Titans score in the red zone.
Conversely, on the other side, the Titans defense, which has had its problems this year, they have been flagged 0 times in the red zone this season on defense. That's tied for the fewest in the league. So while they've had problems, they haven't been making mistakes. In other words, they haven't been helping the opponent, right,
mm-hmm.
by making mistakes in the red zone. Their defense has actually been disciplined. Maybe you could say, well, that's great, but, you know, have they been effective enough? Here's a stat that may surprise you on defense. The Titans' defense has allowed only 4.2 yards after the catch, right? We talk about the yak, right? Yards
yep.
after catch. They're only allowing 4.2 yards this season, which is tied for the best in the league. The league average is 5.1. Would you have thought that before I said it? In other words, they're pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Once again, you could say, well, yeah, but they're giving up a lot. Yeah, but at least they're not killing themselves when they give it up. They tend to
right, they get
not
the stop.
Get right. They're not getting crushed yards after catch. They're actually best in the league, tied for best in the league at yards after catch, just 4.2 yards when the league average is 5.1.
Yeah. No, that surprises me a little bit to hear that stat. I wasn't, you know, that it was that close to what the league average is. But now that you've kind of pointed it out, I mean, they could get hit with a long play, but then once it's complete, they're bringing them down.
Well, what that tells me, and I don't know, you tell me if you look at it differently, it tells me that they've done a good job of tackling, right? Because we see a lot
yeah.
in college and the pros, right? Especially this season with not as many workouts and the strange offseason. There's been a lot of missed tackles. If you watch football games this year, man, there's a lot of missed tackles. I guess it means that they're doing a pretty good job of tackling. Once again, it doesn't excuse all the other stuff, like they're giving up a lot. But at least in that department, it seems like they've been pretty disciplined and doing a really good job of wrapping guys up. Or do you
yeah.
see it differently?
No, I agree. I think that they have. And, you know, that's something this team has struggled with at times in years past. But I think this year they've done a pretty good job of it. And, you know, you bring up a good point because of not having an off season like usual and some of the teaching that you see, you know, a lot of times with that, the fundamentals is the word I'm looking for. I think defenses have suffered from that this year, but the Titans have done a pretty good job with that. And I think that that's something that Vrabel has really harped on.
One thing to keep in mind, the Colts, they have the best strength of schedule. In other words, the worst. They've played, if you look at strength of schedule this season, they're last in the league. In other words, they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, and they haven't beaten the good teams. We'll see if that changes tonight. Let's hope not, right? Let's hope they
yeah.
keep just beating the teams they're supposed to, and teams that are good, they're not too. Although you could make the case, well, they're the favorite, so maybe they're supposed to beat because they are the favorite. All right, we will come back, and we'll finish things up on the other side, finish up Thursday's show one last time talking about this game tonight. What will happen? We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth here on this Thursday. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. So you did a little deep dive. Did you come up with some numbers on this crew? You know a little bit more about them? Tell us.
So
tell us about this crew.
Your referee tonight will be Brad Allen. This is his first Titans game that he's officiated this year. And the home team has been, when he is the official, 55.84% of the penalties have gone against the home team this year. So he and his crew seem to call some penalties more on the home team. The league average is about 50%. His crew is at about 11 penalties per game called, which is just down from the league average, which is 11.34 average penalties per game. That's down, as we've talked about, 13.37 the last few years. So he's right around the league average, his crew, of calling some penalties. So I thought that was interesting. And the home team win percentage is only 0.286. So if you're thinking about that, I guess that doesn't bode well for the Titans. Seems to be calling more penalties on the home team.
Well, hope that isn't the case tonight.
I know. So that coming from Pro Football Reference, and we had a texter that said, and I didn't see this stat, but Brad Allen's crew have the fewest holding penalties this season. So,
well, then there you go. It's going to be keeping with that theme. So that probably, unfortunately, bodes well for the Colts. They're not getting hit with that already, and then you've got a crew that doesn't call that. So
right.
Probably not good.
And we also had a few texters calling us goofballs. Keith being one of them, because they do the skip across the pond on the par three every year, is what they're saying.
I'm not familiar. I don't watch.
I don't
the par
keep
three.
Up with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We are goofballs. So.
We are.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't really pay attention to the par three. So everybody does that.
Apparently.
Attempts to, I should say. Because it's the first time I've ever seen anyone actually successfully do it.
Well, I'm just saying that's what they all do. They all get up there and do it. Okay. I said, let some people that know more about it than us and are better at golf than us tell us, and that's fine.
Right. Yeah, because I don't pretend to be
an expert. We have never, ever, ever pretended on this show to be golf experts.
No.
We're not.
And you've seen me attempt to play golf, so.
I have.
And while it has improved, there wasn't much.
It had nowhere to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It has improved, but once again, it had nowhere.
Hey, I cleared water this year on the boys' trip. Yeah, there was a bet that you were a part of.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I lost.
Yeah.
I lost. I was like, yeah, no. No, I'm definitely betting that Chase is not going to clear
it was
the water.
It was the first tee. And it was the drive of my life. And when that ball went airborne and cleared that water, it was I felt like I had won the Masters.
Yep, I remember that well. That was our that was our first hole, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was teeing off. Yeah.
I did okay. So here's a goofy bet. So you heard me do the DraftKings, and they've got the odds boost. They had one on three guys, I think it was. It was like Dustin Johnson, Cantlay, who I like, and I can't remember who the Roy? I think it was McIlroy. I think it was those three, I think. And it was that they will all hit the fairway on the first hole.
Oh, I like that.
And so, I did, yes. I once again, I have no insight. I have no idea. Just these pros are good. I mean, so I know that there's a reason why they're doing that. And I have no idea if that's even done. And I don't think all those guys have teed off. But I just did. Yeah, I was like, you know, these guys are pretty good. But I just went on a just going on. Well, that's what they do. But there's a reason why they're putting it out there. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. That's a good bet.
Yeah, we'll see. It could be a total sucker bet. Probably is, but I went for it anyway. All right, man, what will we be talking about tomorrow? Well, I know what we'll be talking about, but what will be the theme? What will we be saying? Well, we'll find out tonight. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out the week. We will see you then.
Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time.